Pastor Barbara Thomas.
Hallelujah. I'm just going to give you what God gave me, okay? So where do we start, Lord? Let's go to Romans 4. We got to start there. Romans 4. Hallelujah. So what is this, fourth Sunday? Y'all got to keep me up on things. Do we have five Sundays in November? Oh, Lord. But you know after Thanksgiving, it's all the way live, right? It's about to be on like popcorn, right? Everybody meeting and greeting and eating. I said, man, get all that food away from me, man. Get away. Praise God. Had to do things in moderation, don't we? Cakes and pies and I'm like, hamburger. Hamburger. But I enjoyed my holiday. I saw the family. It was very, very good to be there. And I thank God to be back with you again. Okay, Romans 4. I'm going to read. I guess it's a word from the Lord today, okay? Now, you're going to help me put it together. I got one, all right? All right, Romans 4, 16. Therefore, it is of faith. We're going to revisit faith this morning. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to them, to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Say faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, those things which be not, believed, even God who quickens the dead, that's important, and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now, if you don't have anything on that verse, and I'm not big on marking up my Bible because then I can't see it afterwards, but put like a little dot to the left of it if you're writing in your Bibles. If you got computers, I know that's a whole nother can of worms right there, but anyway. But that scripture, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, which means God is powerful, ladies and gentlemen. See, we got to tap in. We got to understand that God is a big God. And what's impossible with man is possible with God. But we got to learn how to tap into it. And how do we tap into the impossible God? It's only going to be by faith. This is why Abraham was such a, he's just so profound in scriptures, okay? All right, now, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Man was married to a barren woman when God said this. Listen to me, y'all. He had one wife, and she was barren. And God said this to a man with a barren wife. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Now, so God said, I'll make you father. I make you. Not I will make you, or well, let me see how it reads. I have, like it's a, come on, man. See, past tense, I have made you, have, past tense, which for God is no time or distance in the spirit. When God said it's like, well, we know it's not like taking it to the bank because we saw what happened to the banks, right? It's a sure thing. When God says it, repeat this after me. When God says it, it's a sure thing. When God says it, it's a sure thing. When God says it, it's a sure thing. But the key is, say this, but the key is me agreeing with God. Now that's faith. I have to agree with what God said. I'm revisiting faith. We got to revisit faith, okay? I think we don't forget how faith works. We got to revisit it. Sometimes we got to remind ourselves and we got to refresh ourselves, amen? All right, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Now Abraham believed God when God said, I have made thee a father of many nations. Even though he was married to a barren woman, he believed him. All right. Even God, who what? Who what? What does God do? He quickens the dead. In other words, a woman's womb that has never worked, that's not too hard for me. She basically had a dead womb, right? And yet God says, I quicken. Abraham understood how big God was. Not how big Abraham was. That's our problem. We be looking to ourselves. This is our issue, ladies and gentlemen. We got to stop looking at the seen. We got to start agreeing with the unseen. All right. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. When God said to Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations, he had no children. He pulled Lot with him. God told him, get out from your homeland. Get on away from here. Get away from all the family. And so he pulled one son, Lot, one nephew, Lot. Why? Because Lot was like a son, because the man didn't have no children, okay? So he has no children, and God tells a man with no children and a barren wife, I have made you, past tense. Does that make sense to anybody? But see, God don't operate like we operate. Everybody say God is above the system. God is beyond the system. We're so busy looking at the system. I don't know how it's going to work. I make $40,000 a year, and I got $50,000 in school debt. How it going to work? You're going to have to get above the system. Right? You got to tap into something higher than the system. Because the system going to let you pay these little notes, and then all the time it's more cha-ching, cha-ching interest, right? If you're late on the note, it's interest and fees, right? Come on, we got to get beyond the system. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Even God, God who wasn't, then we're going to describe one of God's attributes. God can quicken the dead. Everybody say, God quickens the dead. Yeah, God can make a dead thing live. God can make a dead thing come back to life. Now, the question is, do we believe it? I love that because when it starts describing God, when it says God, then it gives an attribute. See, we've got to stop just kind of saying God, that esoteric word, the G-O-D and this esoteric. Y'all, study up on how big God is. He's a big God. He made the sun, the moon, the stars. He made the mountains and the seas. He made the fish. He made the animals that walk on earth. He made the birds that fly in the air, and he made man. He made all of it. Then he put a seed in all of it so it all could reproduce. He's brilliant, ladies and gentlemen. God is absolutely brilliant. As it is written, he's the creator. Satan ain't never created nothing. He's just a perverter. And everything he shows up around, it turns to dust. When the devil shows up, everything starts shriveling. But when God shows up, things flourish. This is why it's the blessing of the Lord that makes us rich and not our 9-to-5. And I am not putting down your 9-to-5 because there's integrity in work. But we don't put our trust in the 9-to-5 because let's face it, is the 9-to-5 how they're working for us? I thank God for my job. But the job is not my source. And it's locked in two systems of men who are limited. So God's trying to get us to reconnect to him who is unlimited. Oh, my God. So he's talking to a 100-year-old man. Because by this time, he's getting, you know how you be like, all right. I guess it was, esoterical. It was, we try to make God flowery. No, he meant it what he said. When he said it, he meant it. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Now, the one thing, this is the key to Abraham. This is the key to Abraham that we all must get. This man believed God. All right? Let me show you what believing God looked like, okay? So, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God, who quickens the dead. Huge. It's huge that he understood that. And calls those things that be not as though they were. Go on. Who against hope, why? Against hope, I'm 100, my wife's 90, okay? That's against hope right there, isn't it? If you're going to look at just that situation, that's a hopeless situation, especially a 90-year-old woman who never has had a child. Even a 90-year-old woman who's had a child right now, y'all understand, how you going to get her to change her mind on that? You're going to have to work with her soul. No, I'm just kidding right there. Say, it's going to have to be God, right? Who against hope believed in hope, against hope. So he saw how hopeless it was, yet he believed in hope. Why? Because God has spoken. God told the man, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Everybody say, agree with God. So he still agreed with God and hoped against hope. He had to not focus on physical circumstances, who against hope believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations. Back to that promise. See, that's the promise. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So once again, we're getting back to the promise. What did God say? Not how I feel or how I look or what it looked like for Sarah. Not how much I make on my job. Y'all hear me? Am I drawing unemployment? Am I not drawing unemployment? How much I'm getting Social Security? Listen, it's all limited, children. We got to get beyond that system. So we got to hope against hope and look beyond natural. We got to look beyond a 90-year-old barren womb. You got to look beyond it. You got to look beyond the fact that you're 100 as a man, right? Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Next. And being not what? So we're going to get to see what weak faith looks like, okay? Because we got to revisit this faith thing. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Okay, so strong faith does not consider the circumstances. Strong faith looks beyond the circumstances. In fact, strong faith only considers what God says. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, the circumstances, what it looked like or what it feel like, okay? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. As far as he was concerned, he couldn't have no more children either. And maybe he couldn't. See, we really don't know that. It's when God quickened her, she quickened him too, right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, we know he was just with her because he didn't want with the other woman no more. So we just may assume everything was still working for him, but not necessarily. And if y'all look at after Sarah died, he married a woman named Keturah and had more children. Oh, God just cranked it all back up again. Excuse me, but it sounded like it did. I mean, it just sounded like it to me. I hope that didn't sound rude or anything, but you understand what I'm saying. Because we always equate this to her, but we are talking about his body right now. Am I right? And we know men can have babies later on in life and women cannot, right? Men can conceive, women cannot, right? I just need y'all to see what this man was up against. What was he up against? And think about what you up against. What you up against ain't no worse than what he up against. Nothing you dealing with is worse than what Abraham was dealing with. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. So faith don't look at the circumstances, which was now dead. Well, look hopeless. I ain't looking at it. Because my body ain't what's popping. It's what God said that's popping. All right. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was what? 100 years old. Neither did he consider the deadness of her womb. Do you see how faith works? It must look past the circumstances. If we are not looking past the circumstances, we are not in faith. Just settle down and repent and get it straight. I just need y'all to remember what faith looked like. And being not weak in faith, that's why I told you to write a check to yourself so you can see something. You need a visual. You need a visual. You need to break up your typical paycheck. You need to break all that up. Like I said, I thank God for my job and I thank God for my income. I thank God for it, but we got to be able to look beyond that. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old. Neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. And here's it. He staggered not. Two-faced, you know, double. You double. We wobble. Stop wobbling. If you're wobbling, you're not in faith. Just say, Lord, all right, help my unbelief. Let me get on back, hunker down here. Let me declare your word. Job, decree a thing. I'm going to say what you say. Not what I feel, see? And not how it looks, see? He staggered out of the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. He was giving glory to God. It goes to God. God was the one going to fix it. Everybody say, God will fix it. Say, God will fix it. Say, God will fix it. So don't you feel relieved that you don't have to fix it? Because you look at you're like, how am I going to fix it? But say, God will fix it. God will fix it. God will fix it. See, it's all about focus, ladies and gentlemen. He staggered out of the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Next. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the key. This is the key right here. Scriptures say, by his stripes, I'm healed. But I don't feel. You know, you feel a pain, you feel a tug. You feel, last time you went to the doctor, this up, that up. Oh, Lordy. Okay? So are we fully persuaded? That's what I'm just questioning. Sometimes you can't ask a question, it goes so far, much further. Re-examine your faith. And being not fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God promises, God is fully able to perform it. The key is, can we receive it? Can we believe it? Do we have any expectation? Or have we meditated on the hopeless circumstance? Man's 100 years old. Woman 9 and never had children. I mean, we could just meditate on that day and night. But we should meditate on his word day and night. And it's in that that we have good success. Because it changes our outlook. We meditate on his word and not the circumstances. It changes our outlook. It gives us vision. It expands our expectation. Because God ain't like man. He don't lie. So where is the ball being dropped? Am I dropping the ball? Let me just re-examine. Sometimes we need to revisit some things, amen? And being fully persuaded that what he promised, what God promised, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God promised, God was able to perform. Next. And therefore, it was imputed to him as righteousness. Next. Now it's not, okay, he's getting into the imputation of righteousness versus the law and that kind of thing. But I want you to see his faith versus faith. Abraham is such a profound example of faith. If I was to give this message a title, it would be Stop Staggering, Get Back to Believing. Stop staggering, get back to believing. Get back to believing. Get back to believing. Mark 11. It's old school faith, children. Stop staggering, get back to believing. Mark 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Let's just say a little maybe a subject heading over Romans 4. We could say, don't stagger. We can say, I expect what God said. Because that's where Abraham's focus, put that word focus, that's another good word. Focus. I expect what God said. That's huge. Because this is where we get, this is where we fall into the trap. We focus on the circumstances. And we start saying things like, my family, my daddy never had this, my mama never had that, my grandmama had this, or if it's a curse, we quick to say, grandma had this curse, and daddy had this curse, and I suspect I'll have it too. And what we are doing is we're speaking the curse upon our lives. But it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. In the Lord, isn't the Lord's blessing more powerful than my bloodline? Certainly it is, children, but do you believe it? You went to the doctor. He asked you about every sort of sickness everybody done had. And then the doctor told you, well, you know, it's in your family, so quite, and we just sucked that up. So let's have faith for what God say beyond what the doctor say. Let's have faith for what God say beyond what our ancestry may say. Let's have faith. So it's about focus, children. It's not about focusing on what you see, which we could almost call them the facts. But it's about switching the focus from the facts to the truth. Because the truth is higher than facts. Because what God told Abraham was truth. I have made you. Man, only God can make a bold statement like that. But now we need to learn how to agree with those bold statements. Because we're not the ones making it happen. Say, God, do it. Because Abraham said he understood that God was fully able to perform what he promised. So stop looking to yourself. Let's stop looking at, you know, my, you know, range of motion here, right? Oh, glory to God. God, you're my healer. You understand? Glory to God. You're my healer. You're my healer. You understand? So we can't really focus on the scene. But we got to focus on what God said. Say, I agree with God. God is well able. God is well able. God is well able to perform what he promises. And every promise in the word for you is yea and amen. But we must decide what we're going to focus on. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came happily if he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said, unto it. Who talks to it? Jesus is trying to show us something. Jesus is literally talking. It's not an inanimate object because it is a living plant. But come on. Can it hear what he say? Well, can it? Jesus answered and said unto it. Jesus is literally talking to a tree. See how we got to get out of our little logical way of, all right. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. All right. Let me pass on down to. Now listen, not only did he speak, it wasn't no whisper. He said it loud enough for everybody in the group to hear him. I'm trying to rattle your logical mind. I'm trying to rattle your natural way of doing things. I'm trying to show you how the spirit realm works. So he speaks to the tree, and then we get to verse 20. It says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Well, hamburger. And Peter, calling to remember, said unto the Lord, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Wow. I mean, that's just a wow moment, honestly, right? And Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. Now, where we normally want to just put everything off on Jesus, Jesus get ready to put it right back. He get ready to put the ball in our court. Say, I take the ball. We got to take this ball, okay? So he says, have faith in God. Other verses says, have the God kind of faith. Amplify says, 22, have faith in God. All right, now, 23. And verily I say unto you, listen, when Jesus is in the red, you got to really perk up because he's giving you something, okay? He said, verily I say unto you, and let me see, verily is sort of an intense word too, isn't it? It's adding some intensity, am I right? Okay, so verily I say unto you that whatsoever shall whosoever shall say unto this mountain, oh my heavens, speaking to a mountain and speaking to trees, Jesus is off in left field. No, he's trying to show us how the spirit realm works. He's trying to clue us in to the supernatural realm. He's trying to clue us in to the power that we have in us as we have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt here in your spirit. But with us, a lot of it's right here, the soul. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says, that's something we say. He's talking about something we saying. He says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Notice how he says whatsoever. So if I am constantly saying, I'm just so broke. Man, I'm just so broke. I'm going to continue to have what I say. Why don't we shift it up a little bit? Why don't we believe God instead? Why don't we embrace the promises of God instead? I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above only, not beneath. I shall be the lender and not the borrower. Some of us don't need to be lenders. We need to just give it away. In other words, why not agree with God? There's nothing too hard for God, even though your family lineage may have always been broke. They might have always been in debt. That's okay. You help break that curse off the family line by saying what God says, by agreeing with God, by speaking, Jesus said, to the mountain of debt in your life, to the mountain of sickness in your life. Speak to the mountain. Speak to it. See, we think and we wonder and we get afraid and we think we ought to say, then we still don't really say. Then we sort of say, but we know we really ain't saying it in faith. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to the mountain, speak to the mountain, children. Write that down. I'll speak to the mountain. You got to start speaking to the mountain, children. This is faith now. This is Jesus showing his hard work. Let's speak to our mountains. Might be a job mountain. Might be an employment mountain. Speak to the mountain. I have favor with God and man. I have favor with God and man. Oh, I'm going to get this job because I got favor with God and man. Y'all see what I'm saying? Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. I declare. I'll be the, but it won't be me because my, you know, my daddy owned his house, so he already done broke that. But look, who here was in group me and looked at your group me this week? You looked at it. Did you see what I said about Miss Brewer over there? Wouldn't hurt to sow a seed into her, Jesus. She got a debt-free house. I want one, Miss Brewer. I want a debt-free house. I suspect you a wonderful soul. Wonderful soul. Wonderful soul. All right? But what I said was, we celebrated Miss Brewer. Miss Brewer got a letter. She got a debt-free house. So I'm expecting God for a debt-free domino effect. Debt-free domino effect. Debt-free domino effect. Hallelujah. A debt-free, glory to God, yes, sir. A debt-free domino effect. I'm sowing in the good soil.
I didn't tell you about it last week, but I got to check what you told us to. Right,
you got it. You got it. You got it. She last week I said she got her check. It said debt free. She wrote out her check to herself last week. She said debt free. Good soil. Good soil. Good soil. Good soil. I'm gonna look at it, Miss Brewer. You just receive. See, we want a debt free domino effect. A debt free domino effect. A debt free domino effect. My goodness, if you still got a big old note or whatever in your house, sow into her. Jesus, she's sleeping. She's sleeping in a debt-free house. Let's go to sleep in a debt-free house. That's a good feeling, man. We got to speak to the mountains, children. We got to do what Jesus told us to do. Hallelujah. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in those things which he saith shall come to pass. Believe the thing that you say, it's going to come to pass. It's going to come. You believe what you say. Listen to what he's saying. He's saying believe what you say. So what do we need to say? We need to say what God says. We need to agree with God. We need to agree with God. We need to agree with God. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have what? Ugh. Y'all get the revelation on that, glory. Say, I have what I say. I have what I say. I have what I say. The promises of God are yea and amen. And I have what I say. I have what I say. And I agree with God. I'm going to stop looking at the seen. I'm going to start looking at the unseen. Because the seen is temporary. And the unseen is eternal, children. We call, yes, those things that be not as though they were. Listen, God called Abraham when he was married to a barren woman. He declared over the man, "You're father of many nations." It's like he missed the note. Oh, wait a minute, don't you know? Don't you know? She can't handle. No, God knows exactly what he's saying because he is beyond. Ladies and gentlemen, the story of the rich young ruler has been in my spirit for a while. Okay, let me say, tell you what's popping right now. When you read the story of the rich young ruler, you know, he's this wealthy young man, right? And he's a good guy, too. He keeps up that moral code, took care of the parents, honored the parents. They don't steal, don't kill, ain't going to commit no adultery. You know, that kind of thing. And Jesus said, you know, you're doing good. Tell you what, sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. Huge that we listen to what he said. He said, you'll have treasure in heaven. Don't take that part out. He was making investments. Heaven took note, okay? You have treasure in heaven. He said, come on, follow me. Could he have been possibly one of the 12? Think about it. Was Jesus inviting him to? Do you understand what the 12 have right now up in glory? Do you understand what they have? He said, come follow me. Rich young ruler went away sorrowfully. Couldn't handle it. It's too big, you know? And Jesus made this statement. He says, hard for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. Okay? Hard for the rich to do that. But then his next statement, well, Peter and them all said, well, you know, who can be saved? So they must have had some money too, right? What would they say? Who can be saved? Who can be saved? And then Jesus makes this statement. He said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, see, God is trying to intervene. With God, all things are possible. See, the flaw of the rich who don't trust God is they don't trust God, they trust their money. That's a flaw that the rich, or that's kind of a farce or a lie the rich can fall into. Because money does make room for you, and it really does. It can make room for you. You put out a big tip, folks will make sure you got the best. You understand? All right. So, but then the rich fall under the delusion that they don't really need God because they got money. That's the delusion of the rich. This is why God wants to give us wealth, but we got to have a head on straight to receive it. Always understand that God is the source of all supply. We don't put our trust in money. We put our trust in God. But the rich have a tendency to put their trust in money. And that's why Jesus says, hard for them. But with God, they can do it. Saying this is why we pray for those who we know are ensnared by things. Pray, God, set them free. God, set them free. God, set them free. Your children may be ensnared. Your grandchildren. God, set them free. Because with the rich, they're ensnared in their wealth. The delusional thinking that money can get us you everything. It ain't going to get you your health. It's your best doctors, but it ain't going to necessarily get you your health, right? They kind of run up on themselves. When they start getting into their mortality, I'm talking about the rich. I was hearing this statement recently. That's when they start thinking about the future. They know that they're not going to be here that long. So then they start thinking about investing in good things because they know that everybody going to die, honey. Everybody going to die, okay? Except those who are fortunate enough to go up in the rapture. Everybody going to die. All right. Now, so that mortality kicks in, and so now they're dealing with what's beyond this realm. But the rich really can fall under a strong delusion of trusting in money instead of God. That's their weakness, okay? Now, but my point is, the statement can go a lot of places. When they asked him about that, well, who can be saved? Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Now, you can't necessarily fix your job situation. Oh, right now it look impossible. You might not be able to fix your debt situation. Oh, my gosh. Right now, that look really impossible. But see, with God, all things are possible. He made these same statements. He made the statement to both Mary, a virgin, and Sarah, a barren 90-year-old woman. He made the exact same statement. He's like, how in the world I'm going to have a baby? I'm a virgin. Or how in the world I'm going to have a baby? I'm 90 and never had a baby. And they both asked them a question. Is anything too hard for God? And that's where you got to get. You always got to be on God, in God, in the God zone, not the me zone. Because the me zone is limited, but God is unlimited. I may be hindered, but God is unhindered. God knows how to get you into the bypass. You know the bypass? Here's all the traffic here, and God gets you into the bypass. You can run around it. Only God. Verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to the mountain, speak to the mountain, children, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, children. That's hindering us, okay? Doubt, and don't doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says, powerful. That's like confession. That's like decreeing a thing. The thing I say, it comes to pass. The thing I say, it comes to pass. Because I'm saying what God says, and I'm going to agree with God. It ain't nothing too hard for God. And I don't care how my ancestry look. Ain't nothing too hard for him. And with men, that's my statement, it may not be possible. But with God, yes, children, I'm the curse breaker. Be the curse breaker. If you've never seen it in your life, just be the curse breaker. With men, with my ancestry, this been impossible. But with God, I got God. I got God. I got God. All things are possible. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed. Got to speak. Be thou cast into the sea. Shall not doubt in his heart. Don't doubt. But shall believe. Got to believe. Right there in your heart. That those things which you say, you got to start speaking. You got to start decreeing. You've got to start calling those things that be not as though they are. Start decreeing a thing. Is it Job 22? But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he said. It would be good for us to get a little bit more. Therefore, I say unto you, Rhea. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. What? What? Oh, no, just your knees. Just your knees. Your little barely getting alongs. No. Once you done tapped into God, you understand? Once you know how God operates. Once you know how to say what God says. How to agree with God. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, this is important. This ain't no add-on. This part of it, too. And when you stand praying, do what? Oh, that'll hinder things. That'll slow things up, okay, that unforgiveness. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. Next. But if you do not forgive, children, that's why it's always important. He always tacks this on. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespass. Again, it can slow things up, okay? It's a spiritual thing. It can start slowing things, gunking up that pipe. You understand? Gunk in the pipe. We want it to flow well, amen? So we keep the heart flushed out with love. We keep that heart flushed out with love. God, fill me with your love. Father, I choose as an act of my will to loose from my soul anything the devil put there, anything I watched, anything I listened to, every word I spoke, or words that were spoken to me, anything that had darkness or violence in them. I loose them now from my soul. I loose fear. I loose lack. Now, that right there is what I want to say. Let's declare that. I loose lack from my soul. I loose lack from my soul. Now, you have a contemporary, a living testimony right there, Miss Brewer, right? Say, if he did it for Miss Brewer, he can surely do it for me. Now you got a living witness over there, and then none of all of us are going to be responsible for knowing what God did for Miss Brewer. And don't put it on the widow thing, because God can do it for you too. Y'all hear me? Say, I loose lack from my soul. I expect plenty. I expect more than enough. Glory to God. Go to Psalm 23. Say, I expect plenty. I expect more than enough. Say it till you believe it, children. Just say it till you believe it. Call those things that be not as though they are. I expect more than enough. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But if you go to Amplified, it says, the Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me, and I shall not lack. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. And what we are doing in this building is we are decreeing a thing, and it's going to be established in our lives. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Now let's call up Miss Tamika. She got a testimony. Come on, Miss Tika, just share what you share with me. Hallelujah. Sunday, Miss Brewer said that her house was debt free. On Wednesday, my husband got a letter in the mail and said his car is debt free. Title in hand. Hallelujah. All right. I want a debt free car too. Let me see what I got here. Jesus. I'm a soul. I want a debt free car. I'm going to soul. Everybody say debt free cars and debt free houses. Say domino effect. Debt free. All right. Decree a thing. Job, decree a thing. It shall be established. Where is it, Job? Y'all help me find this. Job, I think 22. Decree a thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. 22:28. Job 22:28. Job 22:28. Job. It's time to start decreeing, children. It's time to start speaking. This is what faith look like, all right? Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon your ways. You are a child of the living God. You carry the light of God on the inside of you. What you say comes to pass. So stop saying what the devil says and start saying what God says. Stop saying what you see and start saying what God promised, because God ain't like man. He don't lie. He comes through on his promises. But it requires faith. And Jesus says, faith speaks to mountains, believes in the heart that what you say gonna come to pass. And once you start saying it and believing it, it's going to show up. Decree a thing, and it shall be established, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Give them glory to God. We glorify you, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And so let me just declare over to you, debt-free homes and debt-free cars, because it's already manifested in our midst. Debt-free homes, say I receive. Debt-free cars, say I receive. And if you need a newer model, go on and say, Lord, go on and make a request. Jesus said he'll give you the desires of your heart. Go on out there and make a request. Debt-free homes and debt-free cars, they belong to your children. Jesus said, all you got to do, I wonder. Jesus said, whosoever. He just said, whosoever. He just threw it out that broad. But as your pastor, I declare over you, debt-free homes, debt-free cars, money in the bank, more than enough. More than enough, okay? More than enough. Hallelujah. I believe that. I believe that. Glory to God. That was God, wasn't it? Start speaking. Start decreeing, children. You already have it. It's just out there. It's just sitting up in the sky vault waiting for us to, yes, call it down. Just grab hold. What is so beautiful is we're seeing manifestation. But I'm expecting a lot more, like popcorn, like a domino effect. That's what the Holy Ghost gave me, a domino effect. So don't you be the squiggly one that's out of sync, and you know what I'm saying, it's trying to fall, and then it get to you, and it don't fall right. No, God, I'm part of the domino. Everybody say alignment. So we have to align our thoughts with God's thoughts. And we have to say what God says about us. God says you're the head, you're not the tail. You're supposed to be the lender, not the borrower. You're blessed when you go out, children. You're blessed when you come in, children. Your basket and your storage is going to be running over. And it's running over so you can give. You got it, because God's a giver, children. You're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. And I just thank God for lightness. I just see burdens, you know, falling off. And y'all going to come strutting in this church so light. You're going to be light because you're going to be light. You're going to be dead free. Say, I am fully dead free. So that's your credit cards. That's your school loans, houses. It's your cars. It's your, God forbid, if we done some of the little payday loans or whatever those little things. Well, all of that. God can handle it all. It ain't none of that too big for God. Amen? None of it. None of that's too big for God. Let's give him praise and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's our strong deliverer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's our strong deliverer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Set free from the bondage of debt. Set free, set free, set free from the bondage of debt. Set free, set free. God, I thank you that prosperity. This is the word I heard. It's kind of a strange word to me, but I'm just going to give it. Looms over you. Prosperity looms. We think of looms almost in a negative. Maybe it's hover, but I heard looms. Maybe we can see it in the positive. Prosperity is looming, but you got to. And only your faith say what God says. Call those things that be not as though they are. God, I bless your people. I thank you for the spirit of faith. I thank you for fresh faith. Fresh faith, fresh faith in this building, God. And I thank you for the great things that you're going to do for the people. I'm excited about the testimonies, God. We rejoice with those who rejoice today, Father. Oh, God, I thank you for freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. God, I thank you. People travel light. They travel light. They don't have burdens of credit cards and all that weighing them down. God, I thank you that they travel light. And they have more than enough. I decree it over them, Father. In Jesus' name, all saints say. Amen. All right, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes on the Son, Jesus, shall not perish. You can sit and have everlasting life. You shall not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. It comes through Jesus Christ. That everlasting life comes through Jesus Christ. Healing also comes through Jesus Christ. Say, I receive that. That we receive our healing. We receive our healing. We receive that blood pressure, healthy hearts, healthy heart valves, healthy lungs, healthy kidneys, healthy intestines, healthy stomachs, healthy livers, healthy God. We speak health over the people, healthy cells, healthy bones, healthy muscles. And then God's speedy recoveries if they're dealing with some sort of like when you go to the place you get rehabilitate. Yes, God. Speedy recovery there, rehabilitation wise. Speed up that rehabilitation. God, may your anointing rest upon them and even on the doctors. And let me just say this, Father. I speak this over my people, praying for my people. They have good doctors who have clarity. In other words, they can diagnose, get it right, and then even with the medications, the right medications, and that's something that's going to take them off to a worse place, but just the right thing. And then even with the medications, God, we're praying that those are temporary. Temporary, but no misses with these medications, God, that causes problems. We curse that in Jesus' name. Spirit of clarity and good diagnosis over these doctors. Give them that clear mind. Holy Spirit, you go right in there with my people. I'm just declaring it. The blood of Jesus over my people. He may be slack, but he's going to get sharp when you walk in. Because the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. He may be a little tired today, but the blood of Jesus and the anointing on my people, God, I'm just decreeing it. A good diagnosis, right medications, and not on them long, God. Set the people free, God. Make us whole. Give us self-discipline if we need that. If we need it, we can ask you for it. Help us with cravings and things like that. Help us, God. We need help with these things. Help us, God. I speak life over the people, though. Long and healthy lives. Unless they want to leave here when at their own time. Sometimes people are ready to go, we're keeping them. But, you know, when they agree with you, you know, y'all in agreement. But I just speak life and long life and good quality of life. You know, sound minds, emotionally healthy, Lord God. Mental wellness, Lord God. Just breathe on the people, pour into the people. Mental wellness and stability and peace and shalom just covers their soul. Shalom. Give them peace, God. Even peace that passes understanding. Give them peace, God. Give them peace, God. Give them peace, God. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Okay, so all of that comes through Christ. Everything I pray for is available to the person who is in Christ. Actually, Jesus healed people who weren't in him. Because he went around healing everybody. But we want to be in Christ because eternal life is in Christ. It's the only way we're going to get it. Because Jesus is the one who dealt with the sin issue by pouring out his blood. His pure, sinless blood, you know. So if you've never made a commitment to Christ, you can...